think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Gilcast. This is the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. One of the greatest weeks of the year, really two great weeks, swapping, just coming out with the absolute blade with the swap, back-to-back weeks.
Davis, you are the swap king. You tried to tell me you weren't last week, but you are. You've taken the crown. It's yours.
This week, I got in the lab because I realized I was dead after watching Tony Pollard get one carry. So I was in the lab, like, lineups locked at 12:05.
You were in the lab by 12:15.
I was in the lab. I watched Tony Pollard get one carry up the middle, and I was like, job gob bluth. I was like, I've made a terrible mistake, because I did make a really terrible mistake. Guys, we're here just absolutely giving people the blade. Nate, how you doing, bud? He's unwell. He's on mute. He doesn't even want to talk. About playing.
Not great. been a tilting afternoon.
It was a tilting afternoon.
Nate, was it made better or worse by the fact that Davis was just rage text tilting you the whole time? And then at some
Davis
point,
Davis was needling me without even realizing how bad he was needling me. Davis is sitting here after making the swap of the century and running so hot. Davis is running hotter than the sun and is complaining about Brock Purdy when Brock Purdy has 60 something rushing yards to
Purdy
Lamar Jackson's two.
Can I get this on the record? I officially am putting, you know how like kind of every quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, unless you are Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, or Hurts, you're pretty much just some variation of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Kirk Cousins, yes. Great.
The artist formerly known as Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, RIP in peace to Kirk Cousins and anyone who drafted Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, or any Viking in your fantasy league, because that's over. So this is the deal. Final scores in the Gilcast three-man, 152.6 for me, 148.16 for Whirling Dervish, which, by the way, Sammy, I've had some people, they've laid listen to your dog shit teams that find a way to get there, and they're like, I got to send this motherfucker some games. So I've been spelling out Whirling Dervish to people.
Put together the alpha team again.
People also ask to play Nate, and I'm like, you're never gonna find him. You're never gonna be able to get into the matrix on DraftKings and find
That's
him.
That's actually really good for Nate this week that people aren't able to find him.
Yeah, I actually I got a three man invite last week. I couldn't enter it because I was maxed out in $5 games, but it was just Sammy and I in the invite, and the title of the three man was "Can't Find Nate."
Tough scenes out here.
It is. Yeah, Nate. I don't know. We gotta get to Aguiar. We gotta figure out. But Nate scored 130.18. And Nate was flying high. Nate was flying real high at the end of the noon games because Nate
at the end of the noon games, I was feeling great.
Nate faded.
Oh, because you didn't play Tony Pollard, aka Fancy Tony Joe Mixon.
Not only did I not play him, I also played Kendrick Bourne and Thielen, and so I was up on everything. Every position he was up on.
He was up on Dell. He was up on Collins. You were not.
It was up on the Dell Nico combo, which was crazy high owned. So I was feeling good locking that 425 slate.
Yeah, you were not up on Josh Downs. Both of you guys.
Dude, Bourne and Downs were essentially equal. What was it, like a point difference?
Downs scored 2 more points than Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, thank everybody for Bourne's MCL giving out or whatever.
Well, he got 2 targets. He just scored a touchdown.
Well, yeah, because that's what he does.
Hurt. He also got hurt.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time. We're gonna luxuriate in these lineups. We got plenty of time to argue about this shit. So
excited. I'm very excited for this.
The most common build this week was Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, the quarterback. That was over 50% of the ownership. They were the two most owned quarterbacks. Almost everyone did a 3 running back team this week. I did not really see anyone turn over a 4 wide receiver team. 4 running backs being Breece Hall, Alvin Kamara, Isaiah Pacheco, and Tony Pollard. Now, Pacheco in the massive $50 only ended up being 38%. But I'm going to guess a decent number of people swapped off that because he would have been higher than that.
And yeah, I mean, Pollard was only like 23, 24%.
He was like 30, 35%, depending on the contest.
Okay, looking at the massive 25.
Then everyone played Zay Flowers. He was on over 60% of teams. Everyone punted at tight end with Trey McBride. Highest owned tight end in cash this year, I believe, at 70%. Maybe there was an Evan Ingram. Maybe the Evan Ingram week, he might have been more. And then everyone played one of 2 defenses, the Atlanta Falcons or the Minnesota Vikings. So that left these as the decision points. Which of those 2 quarterbacks are you playing? Which of the mid-tier wide receivers are you going to play between Downs, Nico, Thielen, or Tank? Although there was... Should have thought closer about this.
Thielen was a pricing tier above.
So what you had to do to get Thielen was you had to play Pacheco. You played Pacheco instead of Pollard. You went up from that 4.8K wide receiver to Thielen, and then you could also play the Falcons defense. That was what it allowed you to do. There was also, probably should have thought closer about this one, a fucking AJ Brown or Jamar Chase team where all you had to do was play Brock Purdy or Dak Prescott, a quarterback.
I did think about that, and you guys told me I was a fish. You're like, Purdy, well, like.
When AJ Brown flipped over at 20-something, 25% in cash, I was like, holy crap, what did I miss?
Yeah, I mean, the guy just gets 125-plus yards every game. That is good? Is that something you like? Chase I assume he shows up good. Big in the Whopper numbers, Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Chase also pretty good, so maybe should have thought more closely.
I did. I thought long and hard about that.
The team that I had when the game's locked at noon was Lamar Jackson, Tony Pollard, Alvin Kamara, Nico Collins, Josh Downs. Who's the third wide receiver? Oh, Zay Flowers, Trey McBride, Breece Hall, Vikings defense. Sammy was the only one of us that played Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I essentially did that, except I played Hurts for $100 more and Kendrick Bourne and did not play Lamar and Josh Downs. That's right.
And Nate played Lamar, but he did the Pacheco Thielen over Nico Collins and Tony Pollard. And then you upgraded from
defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which ended up being a downgrade, but
downgrade. I don't think that's not a decision I would criticize. I mean, I did really like the Vikings defense, but it was mostly born out of just watching Jordan Love play last week. Not that I anticipated Will Levis looking like fucking Peyton Manning in his first NFL start, but
yeah, I would have played it. If they were the same price, I would have played Atlanta
completely. Yeah. Like, completely agree. Yeah. Yeah, I think the
yeah. And I didn't make the decision because of Atlanta. I made the decision because of Thielen. Like, I felt like the Thielen decision was, like, I liked that leverage that I was getting. I yeah. We can talk more about receiver, but I like.
I think the only locks, in my opinion, were Kamara, Breece, Zay, Downs, McBride, and three running back construction.
Was Zay really a lock? Like,
well, I really wanted to play Jordan Addison over him, but he was like far and away, like team total, target share, where he sat in the I believe he was the number one value wide receiver on everyone's projections.
But Zay was, I mean, I was texting you guys this morning. I'm excluding Zay from all my tournament builds. Like, he's going to be the guy who, because he gets low A dot targets, he's in a team where there's a lot of these other guys are getting healthy with OBJ and Bateman getting healthy.
OBJ was healthy for about 2.5 quarters, by the way.
Yeah. But I thought that Zay Flowers was the worst ceiling play of those wide receivers.
And you're probably right. Like, he's fancy fucking Wandale Robinson. I mean, it's just, it's egregious, man. I think he was a fine play, but like the fact that he was just like uber chalk and like, oh, you have to have him in, like, no, I feel like I should have been
truthfully in my heart of hearts. If I was being honest, the only wide receiver I felt that I just absolutely would not show up with would have been Downs. Downs was the only one where I was like, I would rather just not play than not have Josh Downs.
Yeah, at 20 minutes before lock, Davis texts us. He says, playing Bourne over Downs is 10 of 10 bad. Like, essentially the worst DFS decision you could ever make. And it's like, what are you talking about, man?
Davis, it's like he doesn't look at numbers. Like, literally, Bourne's usage is better than Downs in any statistic you want to look at.
Not
Bourne from a whopper, from an air yard,
Downs is
from a expected draft. Like, you're making a talent-based play.
The Colts run like 20 more plays a game than the Patriots.
He's the third wide receiver on the Colts versus the number one.
He's the 1.5. I mean, he's out targeted Pittman in Minshew starts.
Yeah, Minshew really likes Downs, bro. He does. And they were in a dome. Like, I get the love. I really do.
The dome thing was the differentiator for me. And I mean, also just like Minshew leads the NFL in dropbacks per game. Colts are the fastest offense in the NFL. Like, how many passes did Minshew had to have had? He had like 47 dropbacks or something like that. Like, a shit ton.
Yeah, and still he couldn't get over his 219.5 yard prop on Prize Picks. Like, come on, Gardner. Come on, bro.
Hey, remember when we did the Andrew Ogletree segment on the show 2 weeks ago? 33 yard touchdown today. You love to see it.
Yep. And it was Irv Smith Jr. week. So, you know, big comeuppance with the Sklansky Bucks for you, Nate.
Yeah. Pittman still has a significantly higher whopper than Downs in.
Yeah, it's why whopper.
You know, you want to know the other reason why Davis likes Downs? Do you want to hear the real reason, Nate?
He's
5'8". Yeah. It's Short King summer for Davis.
Tutu Atwell threw a fucking touchdown today. Short King.
Davis's model
anything.
Has this thing of like a receiver number that's single digits. Gets like a 5% boost in his projection.
Yes. Yeah. No doubt.
Davis just
it.
Watches Josh Downs and he's like, that could have been me. It could be me.
Could have been,
Tutu, number
in
five.
Life. No, I am being serious though. Like, I think that Downs at 4,800 when Minshew is going to be throwing 40 times a game, he led the team in targets again. It's completely automatic. To me, he is really kind of in the same bucket as Thielen, where like he just is never showing up.
Holy shit. Easy, no.
Dude,
easy,
stop
bud.
It. You don't.
Easy with that. I like Downs and you need
He's
to...
not even the number one in his whopper on his team in the starts that Minshew has. Like,
yeah, you got to reel it in a little bit.
Like,
Thielen
I'm
is a legitimate.
Whopper. Whopper is like such a 2019 metric. The guy who invented Whopper's wife is now getting persecuted for fucking committing political crimes. We are done. We are done with Whopper. Whopper is over.
Man. Oh my god. Oh, Davis, you woke up today, you made a swap, you chose violence.
Here's the thing. Whopper is fine. I'm not saying it's useless, but for the game we play, raw targets just matter more than Whopper does.
I don't think that's true at all. I think you always have to look at context within a team.
Literally and I am looking at the context and I'm saying Indianapolis, New Orleans. If I had, I don't even have the numbers.
Michael Pittman is the alpha of that team. Period. Kendrick Bourne is the alpha of the Patriots, period.
Well, I mean,
that's also untrue.
Being the alpha of the Patriots, though, is like, I don't know.
That's why Whopper has a hard time with stuff like this, because being the alpha of a Patriots, like, I'd rather be the third wide receiver on some of these teams than be the alpha on the Patriots.
So that's true, but the Patriots did kind of project to like be down a lot in this game. Mac Jones be playing better. Like
I'm not saying Kendrick Bourne was like this. I mean, I do kind of think it was brain dead, but it's not the worst play in the history of DFS, but it's just like, they're a shitty team. They threw 29 passes when they were down the entire time. Like, they want to play slow. It's just, Downs is going to finish the year with like a target and a half more per game than Bourne.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Juju Smith-Schuster caught a touchdown. I feel very confident that would have been Kendrick Bourne's.
That would have been.
Very confident.
I mean, DeMario Douglas, when they were both active, out-targeted Kendrick Bourne.
Again, DeMario Douglas gets like routes that are 3 yards down the field and is just a speedster trying to get yards after the catch. The routes that he actually runs and where he gets targeted on the field are high-value targets in comparison to Josh Downs. Michael Pittman is the one who's going to get those high value looks. I get that Josh Downs is having the efficiency, but like to say that Kendrick Bourne is a brain dead play.
Gets, Downs
no, Kendrick Bourne is the play.
Wandale Robinson. Like, he does.
I'm not saying he's just
Wandale,
but I'm saying that Kendrick
too.
Bourne is a better play.
All right, that's enough on fucking Kendrick Bourne. Okay, fine.
Then let's talk about Adam Thielen versus these Texas wide receivers.
No,
that was the other decision point.
The Thielen play was very good. The reservation I had about Thielen,
You didn't want to miss out on the first big Tony Pollard game of the year?
I did. There's time bookmarked on the show to get to one Mr. Tony Pollard. But I preferred the Texans wide receiver Pollard 2v2 to the Thielen Pacheco 2v2. I mean, one, just because like Kansas City running backs, like even if they scored 30 points, they can just get nothing because Noah Gray scored a 1 yard rushing touchdown or whatever. But it was really more about Pollard. It was really more about wanting to play and thinking Nico was fine. Like, I just basically thought Nico was fine.
Buddy, I was pumped to play Nico. I think Nico is a straight up alpha. He's big. He's fast. He's connected to the best rookie quarterback in the league. I was like, dude, it is Nico Collins season. And it was not, in fact, Nico Collins season.
The Nico tank thing is very similar to the Pittman Downs thing to me. Why on one team are you like, I want the guy who's running all, because Tank Dell is the one who gets the Downs usage for Houston. Tank Dell is the guy who gets all those like schemed targets.
I mean, I just don't think that's true. I think Downs and Pittman are pretty close in skill, and I don't think that's true of Tank and Nico.
Well, Tank's a boss.
Tank is good, but I think Nico is like a legit alpha, and I don't think that's true of Pittman.
I think he is a legit alpha. I'm so disappointed he didn't smash it up today, man.
It was just
Carolina's defense.
Carolina's defense just completely stifled them. It was a complete shit show on offense. And what I did want to say was I did have a very minor concern about Thielen with this new dude calling the plays. And it was immediately like he had like four targets in the first quarter. And I was like, that's dumb as shit. But you just don't know what the new guy called. I mean, the new guy calling plays did make a huge sweeping change. Miles Sanders played 9 snaps. He just benched Miles Sanders. So like, a new guy calling plays will do stuff like that. You just don't know what it's going to be.
Watch Bryce Young, I mean, he just feels so comfortable getting the ball to Adam Thielen. Anytime he's in trouble, he gets the ball right to Adam Thielen.
The whole offense.
It doesn't matter what the play call is. Yeah.
Thielen's the whole offense of the 1-7 Carolina Panthers is built out of 7 yard Adam Thielen slant routes. Yeah.
Yeah. So when do I get to talk about playing Jalen Hurts over Lamar Jackson?
Go do that.
Let's do it. Go for it.
Oh yeah. So obviously this is gonna come off as like Captain Hindsight, because they're both extremely good players.
No, it's not Captain Hindsight, because you did it. You clicked the button.
Yeah. Thanks, Davis. The way I thought about it was this, is they projected extremely similarly, right? Absolutely. But the way that I look at like what goes into those projections is like, Jalen Hurts has outs to hit the bonus, whereas Lamar Jackson doesn't. Jalen Hurts has outs to get rushing touchdowns.
Well, Lamar got the passing bonus last week, so.
Okay. So I'm just... how many times has he gotten the bonus in the last like 2-3 seasons? Like,
not as many as Hurts, I'm sure.
Not even close. Somebody look it up for me. It's not even close. The other thing is Hurts is their goal line running back, right? I just think he has a better chance in any individual game of scoring a rushing touchdown. And that's saying something because Lamar Jackson is like probably the most gifted quarterback runner that there is. But I think Hurts, like, with schemed designed goal line stuff, where if they get down to the one, he's like 50% to be the guy that punches it in. Whereas we saw with the Ravens, like, they are very comfortable.
I actually think it's even simpler than that. I don't even think it's about the scheme. I think it's that the Eagles don't have any running back that can do it. I think it's that actually their best plan is using Hurts as the rusher, whereas it seems like pretty low effort for the Ravens to get Edwards or Hill in a play where they can just get a yard because the defenses are so keyed in on what Lamar is doing as a rusher, that zone read thing is just all. And look, we've been on the wrong side of this with Hurts. Remember the Lions game where we all three played Hurts in cash and Boston Scott scored twice and Miles Sanders scored twice. So like, it's possible.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying like what usually happens. And the other thing is Hurts has legitimate weapons that can actually create things, right? AJ Brown can create. Devontae Smith can create, you know, even Dallas Goedert. You know, Dallas Goedert is probably at least as talented
don't say things you're gonna regret.
Well, you know,
I
want to hear who he was saying.
I knew you know who he was gonna say, and it wasn't gonna be smart.
thanks, edit that out, but. I think just putting all those things together, it just gave me the slight lean toward Hurts. And that's what made me feel better about putting Hurts up there. And
if you had to guess, why do you think I played Lamar instead of Hurts?
Because you're mentally weak.
No, because he was the late guy. Because he was the, and so you can, if you're behind, it gives you more options to catch up.
Well, that's a really good segue.
That didn't factor into my play at all.
That's a really good segue, Davis, because you've been sitting on this for a while because you put together a dopey team and needed to swap. And for the second consecutive
this is interesting. I wonder what you guys think. I feel more tilted when I play bad than when I get unlucky. Like there have been weeks this year where I just get unlucky, right? Where it's like you play a team and you look at it and you're like, I don't really think I made any big mistakes here. I just, you know, like the Foreman over Hubbard thing a couple weeks ago.
That was playing bad.
That was not playing bad. That was just getting
Davis,
unlucky.
We talked about that. That was playing bad. But normally losing to variance is not nearly as tilting as playing bad. When you play bad.
Correct.
You guys are still going to stick to this Foreman was bad thing after he had 35 last
Because of what the other play was. Foreman in a vacuum is not bad, but in comparison to
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I did play bad today because Tony Pollard at 7,500 as the number one fucking points per dollar running back, a top value on all these DFS sites. It is hopium of the highest degree. It is wanting things to return to an order that makes sense to us, but it doesn't exist anymore. Tony Pollard is not that guy. The Cowboys don't have any interest in getting him touchdowns. They don't have any interest in throwing him the ball. They don't have any interest in getting him in space. They want to play good defense. And they want, and clearly the directive in this game was to get CeeDee Lamb the ball. Like, clearly that was something they decided that was like,
as frankly it should be, because
as frankly,
a grown man.
Yes.
Yeah.
100 could not agree more. But Pollard is not at this age, and apparently after this tightrope procedure that he had, he's just not a guy like Breece Hall or Jonathan Taylor or,
I was fully confident that Tony Pollard was the man that you needed to win in fantasy this year going into the year. But it turns out
could not have been more convinced. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is this, and this is like big tape bro stuff, but the margins in the NFL are so thin. When a running back loses half a step, it's over. When they lose half a step, it's over.
Look at, Dalvin Cook 2 years ago was like a force of nature, and now he's benched for Michael Carter for a team that's trying to win games.
Correct.
Like it is lickety split, man. There's not. I mean, it's Jamal Charles. Fast. Jamal Charles was leading the NFL in rushing, and then 2 years later was a Jacksonville Jaguar. Remember that? Do people even remember that Jamal Charles was a Jacksonville?
The Todd Gurley. I mean, the David Johnson. We could name a million guys. I mean, when you lose that half a step and you start getting pulled down from behind, you just become. Yeah.
And also, you know, the offensive coordinator thing, like Mike McCarthy. I mean, Jesus, it's a disaster. And they don't do anything creative for him. They just like run him into the line, and it's like it's dust.
I'll probably play Pollard again because I think his workload is because I think his workload is so valuable. Like he's similar to Mixon in that at the right price,
in every way except for the domestic assault.
Similar to Mixon price. In the sense that he's on my never again list.
At the right price, these guys are going to be playable. It's just Pollard at this price isn't playable yet. His price is not taken into account his lack of efficiency.
You know what's sick is Tony Pollard's going to be like a sixth round pick in fantasy next year because the Cowboys are going to take a running back in like the third round of the NFL draft, and I'm going to be like. Dude, I'm over it. I'm not taking Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard stinks now, and he's going to Zeke his way to like 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns next year because the defense will just be slightly worse, so they won't be up by 70 points in every game.
And that's literally what I told myself. I'm like, yo, Pollard's run so bad. I mean, there have been half their games, their starters haven't played the fourth quarter for a multitude of reasons.
It's every game. Every game other than the Arizona game, I believe, has been out of control for them. I gotta go look this up, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah, but regardless, I mean, Pollard doesn't have the burst. He's starting not to get the stuff through the air. They're more than willing to bring in Rico freaking Dowdle to scavenge him up. I mean, it's all bad.
So very quietly, they've been taking Pollard out in the red zone for Dowdle. Like he's coming in there. So Chargers game. Pollard played the entire game. He got like 14 or whatever. 49ers game, blowout. Patriots game, blowout. Cardinals, they can't get in the box. Jets, blowout. Giants, blowout. So he's had two full games.
We should have known when he didn't crush the Chargers that we should not be putting him back in our lineups.
This is every once in a while, something like this will happen to the fantasy community where we will just want to will a guy, and it kind of just subconsciously makes its way into the projections because it's just baked into who we are as people.
Just a little hopium into the algorithm. I mean, and maybe you're right because we all wanted Tony Pollard to happen because he was stuck behind dust ball ass Zeke. For so long, and we're like, dude, just free Tony Pollard, and now he's free, and it's like, oh, it's happening, and he waited
too long. He's 26. It's over. So anyone who wants to say I played bad or like, lol, Matic, you're terrible. You're right. Like it's not good to have played Tony Pollard, especially because there was Jonathan Taylor. There was, even Kenneth Walker. Pacheco.
No, the only other player would have been Pacheco.
ETN was cheaper, and it's almost like ETN's getting workload.
I bet ETN, I
would have to look this up. I bet he has 100 more points on the year than Pollard. I bet he's got 100 more points.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right because he's essentially Tony Pollard that did not have tightrope surgery. Yeah. You know?
Yes,
that's what it is. So, okay. Enough dunking on Tony Pollard. It's so sad to see what they did to our sweet prince. But Davis, you were drawn slim. Let's talk about the swap.
I was drawing dead, and he was dead. I was dead. So I was just conservatively. So the lineup I had, let's see, 6.5 points from Pollard. 7 points from Nico Collins. Now, the one thing, if you really wanted to argue, okay, you should have stayed, you have an advantage, it would be Lamar can match Hurts. McBride, we haven't even talked about McBride, just absolutely going full Gronk and garbage time. But you get your projected points for McBride. And then I was up 7 points with the Vikings versus the Falcons. So you could have argued, I think maybe without that last Hurts touchdown, you could have really argued just hope Lamar gets 30 and you just hope and pray basically that Pacheco stinks.
But I think that would have been bad. That would have been bad. I don't think you could have projected Pacheco to do that bad. When you saw the Pollard flip with the extra price that you paid for him, you were behind.
Because not only was I behind Pollard teams, but I was also behind Nico versus Thielen. So I was behind at both spots. So it, like, counting on Zay Flowers as the most owned wide receiver, McBride is the most owned tight end, and Lamar is the most owned quarterback to catch me, it would have just been terrible, I think, at the end of the day. So there were a couple different swaps. There was I believe it was Mahomes, Rice, and Joku. You could have done Purdy, Ayuk, and stayed McBride. That actually would have been the most points you could have gotten. What I ended up doing was Lamar down to Purdy, Zay Flowers to Hollywood Brown, because why not? I mean, it's just Hollywood Brown every single week. We got to talk about Hollywood Brown on this show. And then the swap that got me there in the end was going from, and I thought the most important swap was to get off McBride, because he's a $2,800. I mean, he can airball. Like, he can literally just get 0 points. So
him and Flowers. I thought getting off Flowers was your other huge leverage point.
Yeah.
That was for just for the points, just for straight up points, you got to switch tight end in that spot.
But here's the thing, you've swapped tight ends 2 weeks in a row, and I think it's very important to understand that these real low priced tight ends that are chalky have such, like, low floors that they can break out. And if you swap to a big time dude, you know, whether that's Travis Kelce that we did last week or George Kittle this week, who we know does a lot better when either
you're like potentially gaining like 20 points against the teams that you're fading.
Exactly.
Which is like almost impossible at like QB or
quarterback. You can do it at wide receiver, but you have to get a huge outlier game. But like,
well, it's mostly impossible at quarterback unless you played Lamar Jackson versus Jalen.
Atta baby.
God, so I'm so tilted. I cannot believe this run out. I cannot believe I had this morning lock and then that for the afternoon slate.
It was like you and Davis switch bodies, because Davis ran hotter than the sun's taint in it, not even in the late games, but like the second half of the late games.
Yeah.
Brock motherfucking Purdy getting the bonus with 12 seconds left. And
well, that was immaterial. The only thing that I really needed, like, cause I was sweating it. Once Kittle got the bonus, I was home free. Like, it just,
yeah, but even the play that he got the bonus on, it was fourth down and Purdy was running toward the right sideline and like jump passes back across the field. And when it was in the air, I'm like, oh, that's a pick. And then it lands right in Purdy's Kittle's bucket. He gets the bonus. Then Purdy throws a touchdown like a couple plays later. Then, you know, the Bengals come back and they, you know, they run out the clock until 12 seconds left. Purdy's at 296. They just throw a slip screen to McCaffrey, who gets there, gets 28 yards for the Purdy bonus. Then this is even better. They throw another one to the right side with 4 seconds left to Ray McCloud. There's a penalty on the play, but the Bengals just decline it. Because for what reason? You know, they're just like, yeah, the game's over. Like, we decline, and Purdy gets whatever, 20 more yards out of nowhere. They could have declined and the game's over too, right? The game can end on an offensive penalty, not a defensive, but they're like, we don't care about stats. And so Purdy gets a little more there. Hollywood Brown, Trey McBride goes down at the 1 yard line, then gets another goal line target, doesn't get there.
Trey McBride getting 10 for 95 and one. I gotta be honest, that was not in my range of outcomes for this game. You could have given me 100 chances to project a stat line, and I don't get up to 10 for 95 and one.
Wasn't he a Mackey Award winner?
Oh yeah, yeah. I bet a shit ton of money on him in the FFPC, but it's like, dude, Dobbs is like hopeless, man. Like, watching Dobbs when these games are within like 10 points, it's just like, Amari DiMercato on first down, Amari DiMercato on second round, sack on third down. Like, it is brutal to watch.
They almost won. They came close.
Yeah, in garbage time.
It was never
really. Yeah, no, not really.
It was never actually close.
Yeah.
Okay, one guy that we haven't talked about yet that we probably should, because I think he was a good play, was McLaurin. None of us played McLaurin.
I played
Davis was going to, right? Davis was
the Samuel news. Yeah.
I thought about him, but I preferred Nico.
I probably would have played McLaurin if Samuel was out. I was
highly. Yes. Yeah. No, same.
Yeah. But once he wasn't, like, I don't know, man. It's, He's good. He's good. I just, man, that early season shit where they just didn't like put him on the field a bunch and weren't using him as the alpha, it's still kind of sticking with me, I think.
I probably should have considered him more. It didn't
so,
work
so that you could have so that you could have played Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I probably that would have been bad. I still cannot believe this Pacheco thing.
Well, I mean,
what can't you believe about it, Nate? Let's hear.
The Chiefs doing this is like bottom five percentile outcomes. I just did not see this at all as a potential.
I mean,
they've beaten
the Broncos 16 games in a row, so it's like.
I mean, this Broncos D is awful. Is awful. Yeah, I watched what the Bears did on this team. To see Isaiah Pacheco like literally get game scripted out. Like, I thought he was going to get easy touchdowns. I thought he was going to get passing work. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
see, that's the thing about Pacheco though. I actually his passing game role has definitely grown, and I thought he was a good play. But like, you can't count on him for touchdowns, bro. Like, sometimes the Chiefs just decide to throw it 80% of the time. They do weird shit on short yardage. They do weird shit at the goal line. They shovel pass to Kelsey and they double reverse, run it with Noah Gray. I don't know. I wasn't really afraid of Pacheco giving me the blade, TBH. I think his good games are like, you know, 15 for 75 with, you know, five catches for 30. And if he gets a touchdown, great. But like, dude, he's not putting up 30 like ever.
I agree with that. I think he's like a really good bet a lot of weeks to get like 15. But he's like a pretty bad bet to get. I mean, look, he's a better bet to get 15 than Tony Pollard. I'll tell you.
I mean, that's true. But like, I don't know. When's the last time Pacheco scored multiple touchdowns in a game? Has that happened?
Done it once. I want to say he did it like maybe like 3 weeks ago. But yeah. I mean, that's not Kansas City.
In this spot, he was way underpriced for his passing game usage that he's been getting. He should have been priced with like an ETN and Pollard for
Nate, he still plays only about 55% of the snaps on offense.
Davis, you got to look at his passing workload over the past like 3 or 4 games. He's got like 12 targets over the past 3 games.
Yeah, and they're like good targets. I'm not saying he's bad. I thought he was a good play. And honestly, weirdly, because of lineup construction stuff, I maybe would have been more likely to play him if he was a little bit more expensive, just because of the way the wide receivers were priced. But he is not Travis Etienne. He's a good play, but he plays about half of the snaps and he can randomly lose goal line stuff. And in fact, has randomly lost goal line stuff to McKinnon. That doesn't happen to the other guys who are priced at 7,000. Like Kenneth Walker's not giving goal line snaps to Zach Charbonnet.
Well, yeah, Charbonnet was a ton today.
Yeah, Charbonnet played.
Well, I think he.
I don't know what happened.
I think Walker got dinged. I think.
I missed. I was just watching some of the game. And I was like, "What the? Why is Charbonnet in so much?"
Well, they also have Charbonnet in on like the speed stuff, like the end of the half. Mm-hmm. You know, and he ripped off a bunch of chunky runs doing that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I played bad.
I'm like looking at my team, and I'm not even sure I played bad.
This is
just insane.
Yeah, you did not play bad, Nate. Your lineup was solid. You know, obviously I had reasons why I liked Hurts better than Lamar, like, but you're splitting hairs. Like the, you know, Hurts outscoring him by like 20 or whatever it was is like that's way outside the range.
Also got scared off with the knee with Hurts. Yeah. I actually had some Hurts under props. That was not good.
Nah.
Well, he didn't run.
Not even on the injury report, bro.
He didn't run very much.
I don't trust injury reports these days, man.
Neither did Lamar, bro. Brock Purdy's the rushing quarterback that you needed.
If I tell you Jalen Hurts has 6 rushing yards, you're like, dude, I'm not touching that guy. I'm not playing that guy in any format.
Yeah, well, you know, he just gets the bonus because that's what he does. Like Hurts is like getting there almost always. I feel like he has fewer down games than Lamar. Like Hurts just gets there. He is the man.
Yeah. All right. Let's get our GPP teams out of the way. I played like hilariously bad in tournaments this week because it was all centered around Lamar and Mahomes, which meant that I got like no points in any format. So I played this hilariously bad. Oh, I also I played 100% Breece and 100% Bijan. I rotated between Pollard and I think Swift as my other running back in like every lineup that I made, but I still played Pollard in tournaments. This is the team I played in the SPY. Just I mean, just, oh my God. 96.48 points. Unreal. So I played Lamar. I played him with Andrews. Interestingly, Lamar was 20%, but Andrews was only 6%. I kind of found that weird. Normally their ownership more closely mirrors one another. I did not do a bring back on this lineup. Didn't play Hollywood. Didn't play DeMercado. Didn't play Michael Wilson. I played it with Bijan and Breece. Pollard was the third running back here. LOL. I played DeMario Douglas at 3,300. He was 3% owned. I played Jackson Smith and Jigba at 0.6% owned. That was crazy to me that no one was interested in him at all.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, he's just kind of a fancy Jake Bobo. I mean,
dude, JSN is, he is legit. He's very, very good. I think the times of play, like, he was less owned than like Rashee Rice, you know. It's like, you know, I like Rashee Rice, but
Jake Bobo was going to be tilting if you play JSN. The fact that Jake Bobo was getting end zone.
I mean, obviously JSN's never going out and getting like 12 targets. Like, he's going to have to do it on efficiency for sure.
Yeah. But the fact that they're scheming Bobo end zone touches like that is tilting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The third wide receiver was Nico Collins. He's 23% owned. And then I did play the Falcons defense on this one. 3 points. I was like, dude, I'm going to play 100% Bijan. Everyone's afraid. They don't understand. Bijan is the best running back in the NFL. He's going to get schemed targets. You know, just like idiot shit. Just immediate, like, Tyler Allgeier red zone carries. I mean, look, I'll probably do it again if he's like 6,200 next
year. Yeah, I mean, this was, frankly, the alpha week to play Bijan Robinson, the week after everyone's fucking pissed at him. The week where, like, I mean, it's just like, where his price is so low. It was a great week to play Bijan in GPP IMO.
And I felt like if you played Breece, like, obviously I thought Breece was in the same category of like the week everyone played Mostert, like stuff like that. Like, I thought Breece was that good of a play. But I felt like obviously you needed to do some other weird shit with him because you can't just be like 1v1ing people. Not a good tournament week for me. Like, all my reads were bad. Like, Breece didn't end up getting the bonus. Bijan did nothing. JSN got outscored. But I did play a lot of Rashid Shaheed, 3 for 153 and 1. But it didn't end up mattering because, again, it doesn't matter if you get 25 points from your one-off. If it's, I think Mahomes got 5 points, which is just...
Yeah. Yeah. The guy you needed was DeAndre Hopkins, TBH. You just need a
Let's
nuke.
Let's see, what team won? This is the team that won the SPY.
I mean, CD. Gotta have CD.
Yeah.
The team that won the SPY did not have CD. It was Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown, Gus Edwards, Travis Etienne. He must have swapped because he got, well, maybe not. He played McBride and Kittle. He got 17 from the min salary Denver Broncos defense, Galaxy Brain. You just fucking love to see it.
Wow.
And he also played Nico and McLaurin. So, like, I think this is an example of why I like this buy. He didn't have CD. You know, he wasn't even close to the quote-unquote the optimal. He completely whiffed on Nico. He got it. He took a good stance on ETN, and he just faded Breece, right? He played Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards is good on a Jalen Hurts team because it's giving you leverage on the Lamar teams at a similar salary. It's just it's not like looking at the Millie Maker winner and being like, I couldn't have clicked that. If you gave me a million tries to click a team, like, this is like a very reasonable team that won the SPY.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I played three tournament teams, SPY, Red Zone, and, you know, one of the cheap ones, whatever. And in the SPY and the Red Zone, I had a Dak CD Ferguson double. And I was just smashing, and neither of those teams even ended up cashing.
Wait,
that's
how?
Really insane.
Yeah,
I need to hear the Dak CD Ferguson team that didn't cash.
Yeah, I mean, so one of them had Tank Dell. One of them had Nico Collins. They both had Kendrick Bourne. But the other thing, so they both bricked on the Dell and Collins, and then they both, I brought them both back, once with Nakua, once with Cup. And so they didn't get there. They both had Breece Hall. One of them had Bijan, one of them had Jonathan Taylor, and Taylor maybe got hurt. I didn't even see what happened, but he had like 95 yards and then just stopped playing.
He had to have gotten hurt because he had 12 for 95 at half, and I don't think he got another carry.
I don't think so either. Both of them had, one had Vikings defense, one had Cardinals defense. I mean, it was 152 and 159, and neither of them cashed. But my tournament team that did cash, I put it in the Millie and the Fair Catch. And it was a Hurts and AJ Brown. And let's see, I had Alvin Kamara, Jonathan Taylor, and Gus Edwards. So I did a three running back build. Gus Edwards, obviously instrumental to my efforts. And then Kendrick Bourne, and I put Michael Gallup in this one. Should have just done Brandon Cooks, you know?
Yeah.
And then I used the Steelers defense at home, and this team put up 175 points. So it, like, I don't know, 4 or 5x or something like that. But it was like small buy-in. So what are you going to do? Yeah, but those were my only three teams, a Hurts to Brown, and then a Dak double. And yeah, both Dak doubles like didn't cash. It's insane.
I don't know if doing the high salary bring back with the Dak double was that good.
I've been way more apt to like not bring it back, but I really did think that bringing it back with those guys in this context was really good.
I actually don't mind that. I think the Dak double is why you, like, it allows you to play a higher price bring back and get that upside. Like,
exactly, because you're paying down at tight end, but you're being a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, CD was expensive, but he was like 7.6. Dak is cheap. So you have, to Nate's point, you have the ability. And like, these are not like dopey ass bring backs. Like Kupp and Nakua are like big time guys. Stafford ended up getting hurt, obviously, which kind of X things, but they weren't doing that great beforehand. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear what you flipped over, Nate.
Yeah, Nate, bring it home.
All right. So I, let's see, in the spy, I did a Purdy triple. So I went Purdy, McCaffrey, Ayuk, and Kittle.
Gangster.
And then brought it back with Mixon. I figured that would be
Jesus, like, Christ.
So again, this is how I like to build. I like to like pick the game that I think I want exposure to. And even though I know it's going to be owned, I'm going to try to play it in a way that I don't think people will. And that like was the way to do it. It was actually way less owned than I thought it was going to be. So I didn't need to be that correlated. So yeah, I had Purdy, McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Brandon Ayuk, and then two snowflakes and Nico Collins, Michael Gallup, and then had Kittle, Mixon, and Cardinals D. So I like this team. Obviously the Nico Gallup one-offs didn't do anything, but the overall like exposure to the game that I wanted to, I liked. So I got exposure in the way that I wanted. Thought Mixon would be a contrarian bring back and get me leverage off of Pollard and stuff like that. And it was. So overall, I would play this team again. When your one-offs don't do anything, you can't do much about that.
Yeah, I will say this, like, we would have been better off playing the original Joe Mixon than the new Joe Mixon.
True. Original Joe Mixon would have been good.
Yeah.
That guy is way better than his carbon copy in Dallas.
That's the thing. When Pollard gets down to 5,800, we can play him.
It will never happen. The slappies will play him enough that he's gonna filter between like 6,800. And then, like, obviously he is finally gonna have a good game at like 4% owned. Like, he's gonna fall into the end zone three times or something. And then he'll immediately be $8,000 again.
It'll, if his price drops low enough, I'll play him.
Can't wait.
All right. That was it was a long show. As long as we had lots to cover. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Hopefully with more late swaps, maybe we'll get Nate to take an L, and we'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No